Amen. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. What a great day to honor the women in our life, right? And so I love this holiday because if it wasn't for this holiday or women in our life, none of us would be here, right? So thankful for the Lord to give us the gift of women, right? And so every time you look out into a crowd or out in your culture or school or whatever it may be, when you see a woman, you know what you see? God's best for last. And so, absolutely so. He created everything. He says something's missing. Everything's good, but man, something's just not right. It needs a woman in here, right? And so I'm so thankful for today where we can honor that and appreciate what God honors. And so I want to take you to a verse here in Ephesians 6, 2-3. So many times we think, well, honoring mom and dad, isn't that in the Old Testament, isn't that a part of the Ten Commandments? Yes, it is, but it's also repeated in the New, right, for our benefit. And so sometimes things play over from old to new. Sometimes things are different, right? And so God is always after moral excellence. And so notice this promise that's given to the command, right? So we're to honor our mom and dads. And because there's a promise linked to it, right? That's going to go well with us and may enjoy long life on the earth, right? And so if you were to interview probably guys at prison or people in prison, they probably live lives that dishonor their mom and dad. It always kind of goes back to some of those issues. If so, they struggle with that relationship or authority over them. And so it kind of goes with that promise, right? God says things are going to go well with you if you honor your mom and dad. And so if you've had a good mom, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so even if you had a bad one, we're still to honor them and their position. Does that make sense? God's placed them in your life for a reason. And so I want to see, yes, there's my mom. So mom, I just want you to stand so everybody gets to know you just real quick. So thank you, mom. Yes. Spiritual giant right there. And she raised four kids, and we all love the Lord, and we're very thankful. Amen. So I was second, so number two in line. So Josie, just like you, second in line, but the smartest, right? So, exactly. All right, and so the context of Ephesians here in Paul's giving this command is in the context of family. So in chapter 5, he talks about husbands, love your wives, right? Just as Jesus loved his church, his bride, right? And so to Jesus, his family is everything. So moms, to you, what your family is everything, right? So where do you get that from? You get that from your creator, right? Because he created family and you appreciate your family. God's given you the gift of family. And so the church family is the result of us having that new relationship with Jesus, right? And so we're part of a spiritual family that's called the church, God's household, the scripture calls it. So we belong to each other. We need each other, right? And so we got to see each other as family. And so got my brother and sister over here, got a lot of spiritual moms, got my physical mom here, got a lot of sisters in the Lord, right? And so, hey, we're family here, right? So we're called to treat each other as family. We want to honor the women in our life today. We want to appreciate what God honors, all right? So as there's no book on mom jokes, right? You always see books with dad jokes. Right, so dad jokes always keep their jokes in the database. So I'm going to share a little mom joke, okay? So there was an elderly lady, she was driving along the road, and a police officer saw that she had been swerving. He kind of noticed, hey, something's wrong here, I'm going to just kind of tail her and see what's going on. So he's following her, and she just kind of continues to swerve a little bit, and he's like, I'm just going to pull up and just kind of see who's in there and what's going on. Maybe there's some rowdy kids in the back. You ever been there? Mom's just like, don't make me come back there. So he pulls alongside and he sees this lady and she's driving with one knee on the steering wheel and knitting at the same time. She's like, how does this woman do this? And so he's like, roll down the window And she sees him roll down the window, and she's like, well, what is it? She goes, pull over, pull over. And she's like, no, it's a scarf. Well, I'm glad you appreciate that when the first service did not. That's good. You like that one, Anita? All right. Not today, right? Well, happy Mother's Day to all the ladies. Happy Ladies' Day. So I want to pour into you guys five truths. Five truths. We're going to use the acrostic here of women. Women. And so we're going to use this acrostic to kind of get through what I want to build into you. And so number one is worth. Worth. So we want to value, we want to appreciate what God appreciates, and so we want to acknowledge the worth that you ladies have. I think sometimes the biggest struggle we have, even men struggle this, even with teenagers, just people in general, we struggle sometimes with our worth and value in our society, our culture, our place in this world. And so we struggle with that, right? And so that's kind of a normal thing because we're trying to figure things out, our place and purpose in this world. But I just want to build into you and encourage you, ladies, that you have a lot of worth. That your worth isn't tied to what you do. It's not tied to how much you get paid, how many kids you have, whether you're single or married. That has nothing to do with your value. Sometimes we link it to our value or our purpose, but our worth is from who we are, right? And so, number one, we're created by God for God. So our value comes from the one who shaped our life, his handiwork on your life, right? Can we get those down just a little bit? It's awful, right in my eyes right there. I can't see the wonderful ladies in the room, right? All right. Thank you for that. And so we struggle. And so our worth isn't tied to anything other than our relationship with God first. And with other people around us. And so if God created us and we bear his image, then that makes us important. It gives us value and worth, right? But he took the time, think about it, he took the time to shape you in your mother's womb. He took the time to breathe the Holy Spirit at your birth, right? And so today is not just Mother's Day, it's also Israel's 75th anniversary. Today's also Pentecost. We honor the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see that a little bit next week, again, honoring the Holy Spirit part two. And so just how he's gifted the church for us. But I want to talk about worth and value today because it's so important for us to understand. And so I want to encourage you guys to know your worth. Know that you are valuable, right? Don't let this world steal from you or deceive you into thinking that you are anything less than that. Because here's what happens. If we think of ourselves lowly, if we think that we have low value, we're going to have low purpose. We're going to see everything that we did or God's called us to do as menial, just a task to accomplish. And so if we have a high value of ourselves, we can be overly confident, right? So there's balance here. And so Paul talks about that in Romans 12:3. Not to think of yourself too highly, not to think of yourself too lowly, but with sober, healthy judgment. And so truth helps us understand who we are, right? So first, we're created by God, for God. Then secondly, we've been created to accomplish things. We're to see and appreciate the value that God puts in us. So Solomon is getting some wisdom from his mother in Proverbs 31. His mom says to him, who can find a noble woman of character? Her worth is far more than rubies. And so here's this mom talking to King Solomon. He's like, here's the kind of person you need to look for, a woman of noble character. She doesn't say beauty. She doesn't say long hair. You know, she doesn't say blonde or brunette. Right? She says a person or a woman of character. Her worth is higher than rubies, so precious of a jewel. And so she encourages him to marry somebody like that. And so, ladies, that's what you should aspire to have that worth of character that we're going to look at in just a little bit. And so many of you guys probably have heard the Antique Roadshow. You guys heard the Antique Roadshow? So people will find something through their garage or barn or closet, and they're like, oh, I'm going to go take it to the Antique Roadshow. I'm going to see how much it's worth. And so I don't know anything about this piece, and so there's people that do research and investigate all this kind of stuff, and so they know the value of this piece, right? And so imagine taking a person that you know and love, and it's like, well, if I take them to the Antique Roadshow, how much are they really worth in this world? And so you get, on one hand, you're going to get people's value of you, right? And so that's where we kind of lower ourselves, because we listen to other people's value of us. But here's who we should listen to, and that is to what the Lord says about us. Right? So he always talks about, hey, I have created you with a purpose. You have value. Live with value and worth. Don't ever let anybody treat you differently. That's called respectful treatment. Right? And so we're to treat each other as valuable, as somebody of worth, and respect each other. Right? And so that kind of truth could change the world when you really think about it. If everybody has value and purpose. And so I tell my daughter all the time, it's like my wife and I tell her, don't settle then less than what God's best is for you. See yourself as a woman of worth, and make sure you date somebody who treats you what you're worth. Right? Why? Because you want somebody of noble character at the end of the day. Somebody who loves the Lord, who treats you as valuable. All right? And so Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a good wife finds favor from the Lord. And so if you have a good woman in the room, say a hearty amen. Amen. All right, that was for you guys. Now, you're also worth more. Think about this. You're worth more if you're a person of wisdom and understanding. So Proverbs 3 talks about the value of learning and wisdom and understanding. He says, get all you can, because the price and cost of wisdom is like silver and gold and precious gems. Right, and so character is precious, number one, but also wisdom and understanding, Proverbs says, is of high value as well. So if I know my purpose and value, and I'm working on my purpose and value of my characters I want to talk about, but also I'm learning precious things, precious truths. Right? And so if wisdom is worth that much, then man, I want to be a person of wisdom and discernment and understanding. Because that's a high price to get to. Even Solomon, the wisest man, says, pay for it at all cost. Make sure you get this, right? Because wisdom will help change your life. You follow me? Sometimes you ever had somebody just give you some good advice at a weird moment in your life, and like you're searching for it, and somebody just comes along and is like, man, that was good. I needed that. That little nugget of wisdom, it's like, man, that was like gold to me, right? And so you want to be around wise people, right? Iron sharpens iron, right? If you want to be wise, hang around with wise people, right? Just the opposite is true as well. Don't want to hang around those folks, right? And so your worth. So 1 Peter 3 talks about and focuses on worth of character. And this is what God looks for. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks where? On the heart. And so this is what God says about a woman of faith and her worth. He says, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. This is how holy women of the past used to make themselves beautiful. In the context, he talks about being respectful and submissive, pure, your purity and your reverence to the Lord. All of those qualities God sees as, man, that's worthy character right there. That's what God is after in you, right? And so if you go back to the book of Esther, I almost did a message on Esther. So Esther was an orphan, lost her parents, but her uncle Mordecai took her in. And so they were living in Syria at the time, and under King Artaxerxes. And so in chapter 1 there, it's very interesting. And so the king threw this huge party, and then his queen Vashti publicly disrespected him. Was just completely just kind of dismissed him. And the king was like, wow, man, didn't see that one coming. And she ended up losing her position as queen because of that public disrespect. And so Esther comes along the scene, and so in chapter 1 and 2, just to prepare the women to see or be in the presence of the king, they had to go through a year's worth of treatment. The first 6 months were just skin treatments of oils and everything else. I mean, this guy knew how to spoil a woman. You think about it. 6 months of oil treatments just for the skin, just to be in his presence. Another 6 months of cosmetics and perfumes. I mean, ladies, this is like heaven for you guys, right? It's like some guy, man, like all the ladies who were even part of that were like, I want to be part of that, right? And so remember how Oprah used to have like these special days. Hey, ladies, look underneath your seats and you'll find something. That's not going to happen today. Years worth of treatments underneath your chairs, ladies. It's right there. But this guy knew how to spoil a lady. And so, but to think about the context there, he was not attracted to her outward beauty. It was her character. Even the king's guy who was over all the treatments for the ladies recognized there's something different about Esther. It was her quiet and gentle, submissive spirit that was so attractive to everybody. Even the queen, even the king knew it right from when he saw her. He's like, wow, there's something different. So Peter is talking about that inner beauty that's unfading. It doesn't change. Our lives, I got gray hair. I did not used to have gray hair at one point in my life. That's called raising kids, right? And so, but our outward appearance changes. And God is after that inner strength. Amen. That inner value, that worth of character that comes out. Amen? Ladies, don't ever forget that. Proverbs 30, Solomon says these words. He goes, three things the earth trembles for, it cannot bear up. So in essence, he's simply saying there's three things that really bother me. And there's a fourth that really just kind of sets me over the top, right? So it's interesting of his list here that he lists. Here he goes, number one, a servant who becomes king. He goes, that just troubles me. How does a servant become a king, right? That just kind of, secondly, he goes, a fool who is full of food. That troubles him. But then this third one got me, an unloved woman who is married. He goes, that disturbs me. It's like, wow. So guys, our command in Ephesians 5 is to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. It's like that's a high standard, and rightfully so. Jesus sees value in his bride. He's willing to die for his bride, for us. And so our love should be sacrificial. Our love should be that next level kind of love, right? So the world ought to be saying, hey, man, you love your wife so much. Teach me how to do that. When you think about it, do you see much of that going on in the world? Man, we should be the examples of how to love our wives so other people take notice. Oh, that guy loves the Lord, man, he also loves his wife like no other. It's like, wow. Why? Because he sees the value and worth in her. Amen? God has brought me the second greatest gift in this life. Think about it that way. It's what I tell people at marriage counseling. When they're up here, it's like they look at each other, it's like you were seeing God's best, second best gift for you. Man, treat her like she's that second best gift. Amen? Amen. All the ladies are like, amen, that's right. Preach it, Andy, preach it. Come on. Take notes from my husband right here. Make sure you listen to this message. The O for women is, secondly, is opportunity. Life brings about many opportunities to make a difference in you and in those around you for a greater good. So utilize who you are to make a difference in this world. And ladies, you have everything you need to make a difference. Think about this. If you lived in a different century, just 100 years ago, you couldn't vote, you couldn't run for president, you couldn't do a lot of things. You had a lot of limitations on what you couldn't do, right? But here's what those women didn't do. They didn't focus on their limitations. They focused on what they could do. So now we have all these limitations that are gone, and now you have women striving to be all that they can be, right? Doctors and running for government officials and governors and all these kinds of things, and it's like rightfully so, right? There's a lot of wisdom and worth there, right? And so there's lots of opportunities to make a difference. So in essence, we have no excuse why we can't make a difference, right? So Colossians 3:5, Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of it, right? Did Esther make the most of her opportunity? Mordecai says, God has raised you up and put you in this very position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. So don't look at your limitations. Look at your opportunities and go after them. Be determined to make the most of your life and let God use you to make that eternal difference in the life of others. Even if that's just winning your children to Jesus. That's the biggest blessing I think God could ever give us, seeing our children come to know Jesus and letting them live for the Lord, right? Third one is M is maturity. So the goal is to be spiritually mature, as Ephesians 4 talks about. We're going to see that next week. The goal is to be spiritually mature, a person who is strong in Christ, that knows her position in Christ. I don't just know Christ, I'm in Christ. There's a difference, and Ephesians talks about that in chapters 1 and 2. And so, yes, I came to receive Jesus, but now I'm in Jesus. And so what does that mean? So just a little bit. So everything that Jesus has, I am going to inherit one day. Amen. That's a wealth of knowledge right there, right? What a blessing. And so a person who is strong in Christ, a lady who knows her value and giftedness, uses that giftedness to mentor others along the way, like Titus 2 talks about older women teaching and mentoring younger women in the church. And so she's mature in her faith. She knows the Word of God and the God of the Word, right? She knows her prayer life is powerful. It's important. She knows that her serving is important to the Lord. She's going to be rewarded for that. She's able to share the gospel to those around her. Right? She knows that spiritual warfare is real, that there's a real enemy, and they're going to come after my kids, and I'm going to do battle over my family. That's right. Right? We have to know these things, right? Ephesians talks about all the stuff that I'm telling you, right? So just study Ephesians. Then James talks about she's able to control her tongue, a mature woman, a mature man as well, and gives wise instruction and counsel. That's a mature person. That's the goal of where God wants us to go spiritually. And then E is for encouraging. Encouraging. You see Jesus encouraging women all the time, lifting them up to their value. You see the Apostle Paul doing the same thing in Romans 16. He's so thankful for all the women in his life, and he mentions that in Romans 16. And so people who've been like spiritual moms to him, people who've come alongside and served alongside of Paul, and so he's thanking them for their spiritual encouragement, right? Because it's so easy to get discouraged in this life, right? So how important is it to you when you get a card in the mail, somebody's thinking about you, and you're like, so encouraging. It's like, so-and-so is thinking of me and praying for me. It's like, oh, man, that means the world, right? So Mark Twain says, I can live off a good encouragement for 2 months. That's the value of encouraging. And so we're not just to receive encouragement, as important as that is. We're also called to encourage ourselves. Right? So how do we encourage ourselves? Why? We listen to God's word, we meditate on it, and it encourages our spirit, right? There's promises that we can claim no matter what part of life we're in at the moment, whatever season we're going through. God's like, you have a moment here. I'm going to encourage your spirit. Life may be tough at this moment, but I'm going to help get you through it. Don't you love that encouragement that God gives? And so it's easy to tear down in our culture and be overly critical. Wouldn't it be great if you listened to CNN and it was all encouragement? Or Fox News and it was all encouraging? Wouldn't that be great? All we hear is constant nitpicking all the time. And it gets old, right? It gets old. But what if we were to change that? To be people who spoke life and blessing and comfort and encouragement in other people's lives. Amen. How many of you respond to encouragement better than you do criticism? Right? All of us respond to encouragement better, right? We all know we need to be better. We all know we can do better. But shaming people or talking bad about them doesn't change them. Right? It doesn't change your spouse. It doesn't change the way you parent. It's like, no, it just demoralizes things. Now, is there a time where we lovingly correct as parents? Absolutely. Right? We need that. That's called love in action. Right? And so, I want to be encouraging. So, I also want to encourage, last week was Nurses Week. And so, any nurses in the room, I'd love for you to stand up. I know there's some room nurses in the room. Awesome. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Our frontline workers during all of this. And so we appreciate you and your sacrifice and your diligence and perseverance through these last couple of years. I know my wife has went through some tough moments there. I know many of you guys have. So thank you, ladies. Thank you so much, guys, for being a nurse and being part of helping people when families couldn't even go into hospitals. And so thank you for being there and being Jesus to those moments to encourage people. All right? When I did the mini marathon, back when I got to thinking about this, that was 20 years ago. Has anybody ever done the mini marathon? Walked it or ran it? Yeah. That's why I don't do it no more. Nobody does it anymore. So, and so I remember doing it. My wife was a runner, and so she's like, Andy, you need to come do it with me. I'm just like, 13.1 miles? It's like, man, I can run up and down a basketball court, you know, but 13.1. So we trained, and she got me into it. But what I found was every mile along the race, there was points of music and encouragement all along the race. Telling people, hey, make sure you drink water. You're doing a great job. Keep at it. Keep running. I know you're probably getting tired. You're getting weary. Keep at it. Right? And so there was every mile. They planned this on purpose because people normally when they feel pain, what do they want to do? They want to stop or give up. It's like, I can't do this. Right? They have these meltdowns and hurts, get side-stitched and all this kind of stuff, and they need a lot of encouragement to get through the race. So if the mini marathon plans for encouragement is a powerful motivator to get people through their race, how much more should we be like those peoples in other people's race in the race of life? Right? You know, Paul's best friend was Barnabas. What does his name mean? Son of encouragement. Don't you love to be around encouraging people? Absolutely. Right? It's a great atmosphere to be in. And so God's calling us to be encouragers. Not just to receive it, but to give it and learn to encourage ourselves along the way. Then lastly, N is for needed. You are needed. So if you're a person of value and worth and purpose and you have a goal of spiritual maturity and make the most of your life, then you are needed in this life, right? Your kids need you. This world needs you. This community needs you. Your family needs you. You are needed. Amen? Sometimes you may, I don't feel like I belong or I feel like I'm not needed. Don't believe that because you need to trust the opposite of that, right? We don't believe lies, we believe the truth. God says you are needed, right? So CNN interviewed Pillsbury Doughboy. Anybody remember the Pillsbury Doughboy? And so they asked him, he's like, what major quality helps you get through life? Because, you know, you're a little on the chubby side, you're a little on the pale side, and, you know, everybody makes fun of you. And you're a little laugh that you do. And he goes, well, the one thing that gets me in life is I know my mom needed me. He's dough needed. Okay, I've got it. Josie, do you get that one? All right. Just want to make sure. You are. I almost became a baker because I needed the dough. I needed the dough. All right. But closing up, know that you are valuable. And I want to just encourage you, ladies, you're making a difference. You are making a difference. Think about that just for a moment. Sometimes we feel like sometimes we're not making a difference. We do the routine of life. We get up and go to work, meet the same people, come home, same drive, you know, same lunch. I packed last week. And it's like, am I really making a difference in this world? Are my prayers making a difference? Is my study of the Lord, is it really making a difference? Is what I do for the Lord, is it really making a difference? So we all struggle and think about those things, right? But here's the thing. God is always wanting us to know you're making a difference. You're making a difference. Even if it's just little, you're making a difference. If all of us do a lot of little things, it adds up to a lot. It adds up to a lot. So be faithful in little things, right? Then God will entrust you with bigger things. But be faithful in those little things, those routine, day in and day out habits that you do. So thank you for all that you do, ladies. Thank you, Mom, for giving birth to me and loving me the way that you did. And I got a special mom. And so thank you, Mom. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, for your love and your kindness, but also your truth. Lord, thank you for your word that builds us up. Lord, that encourages us, that reminds us of who we are and why we're here. And so, Lord, I just pray that you just pray a special blessing over every lady in this room. Lord, it doesn't matter if they're single, doesn't matter if they're married or widowed. Lord, every lady has purpose and worth. And so we pray, Lord, that you would just give them a great day of rest, a great day of just resting in who they are in you. And then, Lord, just a spiritual rest and a physical rest. Lord, just knowing that their heart is at peace with you and things are good. So we pray for, Lord, just that peace to overwhelm their life by the comfort of your Holy Spirit, by the truth of your word. Lord, fill them with your Spirit today. Help them be all that you've called them to be. Help them do and overcome all the things they need to overcome and do. Give them the strength they need to carry out the tasks that you've called them to. So Lord, we honor and appreciate what you honor and appreciate today. May we do that every single day of our life. Thank you for the gift of mothers and grandmothers and sisters in the Lord. Or thank you for the spiritual moms in this room that have been that to me. Their wisdom and counsel and instruction, their encouragement, their serving, their example. So Lord, just give them the strength to keep going and doing what they're called them to do. We love you and praise you. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.